have your Bibles, I want you to turn with me this morning to the book of Judges, chapter 18. Judges chapter 18. We're going to believe God to bless and minister to us this morning as we hope to bless the Lord. Amen. By way of announcement, we have in the bulletin that on the 30th of August, we were going to have a Super Sunday. Young man called me this week, and we're going to have to postpone that for a couple of weeks because of something going on with his ministry. So if everything works out, he will be with us on the 13th of September for a Sunday morning and Sunday night. On the 30th, it will be the fifth Sunday. We will be having Cafe 242, and I guess we'll do singing on Sunday night, the 30th, since we won't have preaching. We'll be having a singing, so if you sing, you want to sing, get up here and tell the man and get lined up and get in it, and we'll have at it. Hello? Amen. I might even get Alex to sing that night. You can't ever tell. Judges chapter 18, verse 24. And he said, "Ye have taken away my gods, which I made, and the priest, and ye are gone away. And what have I more? And what is this that ye say unto me, what aileth thee?" Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you this day, God, for your word. We ask, God, that you would reach down and touch this house, Lord, with the power, the grace, the glory of your Holy Ghost. Father, minister to us and make us, God, to sit in heavenly places with you. For it is in Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Praise God. Would you reach over, shake your neighbor's hand, look him right now and say, "Hey, I'm beautiful. And I am glad to see you in the house of the Lord this morning." Now, church, I do this to get everybody to quit looking like you lost your best friend. What's funny is when you turn around now to say what I just told you to say, your neighbor started laughing before you said anything. That ought to tell some of us something. All right. Amen. I want to talk to you this morning for just a few moments on a subject I'd simply entitled, "Somebody Stole My Religion." Somebody stole my religion. Amen. Y'all let that sink in real good, because some of you sitting there going, "Well, can't nobody steal my religion? It's probably already gone." Because if you get to thinking you can't have it happen, that's when it's most likely going to take place. Amen. Now listen, the story of Micah is a very sad story, which many of us can relate to in the day in which we live. Now, if you go back to Judges, the 17th chapter, and I'm going to run through it real quick, but I want y'all to just go back and read it, if you will. It's a very intriguing story. There was a man in the Mount of Ephraim whose name was Micah. He said to his mother, "The 1,100 shekels of silver that were taken from thee, about which thou cursedest and spakest of also in my ears, behold, the silver is with me, I took it." And his mother said, "Bless be thou of the Lord my son." In other words, this boy goes down, steals 1,100 shekels of silver from his mama. She cursed whoever done it, started telling him about it. He got to feeling bad and goes and confesses to her, "Mama, I took your money." And she said, "Well, blessed be God, you finally prayed through." Hello? Now, y'all may not believe this, but we actually believe that you should go back and make amends for things you done before you got saved, or even after you got saved, you messed somebody up. We call it making restitution where possible. Now, granted, there are some things you'd just hurt yourself worse if you went and told somebody you did it. There's some folks I did stuff to before I got saved. If I ever told them it was me did it, I wouldn't be your pastor long. Y'all be attending a funeral service. Because they ain't saved yet, and I ain't, now if they get saved, I might go to them and admit something. But while I ain't saved, I ain't taking no chances. I'll just ask God to forgive me. Hello? Some of y'all act like y'all don't understand that. I'm not thinking they might hurt me. I know they would. But now notice this, "And when he restored the 1,100 shekels of silver to his mother said, I had wholly dedicated the silver unto the Lord from my hand for my own son." In other words, she said, "I was going to give it to you anyway." But she said, "What I want you to do with it, it said this, that I'm going to give it to my own son to make a graven image and a molten image. Now, therefore, I'll restore it unto thee." Yet he restored the money unto his mother, and his mother took the 200 shekels of silver and gave them to the founder, who made thereof a graven image and a molten image, and they were the house of Micah. And the man Micah had a house of gods, and made an ephod and a teraphim, and consecrated the one of his sons to become his priest. And in those days there was no king in Israel, but every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Now get this story. Mom's going to give him money. He steals it, gets the feeling back, gives it back. She said, well, it was going to be yours anyway, but I want to help you build your relationship and a religion. And she takes it down, and they build him a graven image, and they build him a molten image. So what that is, that means they carved one out of wood, and they poured one into the slat and made him an image of God. And then just to top it off, he goes and gets him an ephod. That's a priest's garment. Amen. And he gets him some teraphims. And those of you know what teraphims are, they're little glass gods that the Jews use for blessings. You know, the little tiki gods like you see out of the thing. The Jews are very superstitious people. They have them little gods. Now, I used to have a Jewish brother-in-law, had two of them. He actually bought them from a priest. One of them was for business, the other for health. And every morning he'd get up going and rub them things like it was going to give him health and make him wealthy. Amen. Hello? And they actually believe that stuff. So he goes and gets him some teraphims, and he sets them up. And he gets him a house on his farm up in the Mount of Ephraim. And he gets him a house, and he moves everything out of it. And he goes in there, and he puts up the graven image and the molten image. And he sets up the teraphims on a shelf. And he gets the ephod, and he calls one of his boys to preach. I mean, you can't have a good church without a preacher. So he ain't got no preacher. So he calls one of the boys and says, hey, you, preach. Y'all might believe that's when we got preachers. That's how they got in the ministry. Glory. Hello. And all of a sudden he got his boy up there, and they start having church. And I mean, he's got the priest garment on, he's got the teraphims for them to worship, and he's got everything going, and his religion's going good, and everything's running good. Hello. And notice what happened. And there was a young man out of Bethlehem, Judea, the family of Judah, who was a Levite, and he sojourned there. And the men departed out of the city of Bethlehem, Judea, to sojourn where he could find a place. And he came to Mount of Ephraim, the house of Micah, as he journeyed. And Micah said unto him, whence comest thou? And he said unto him, I am a Levite of Bethlehem, Judah. And I go to sojourn where I may find a place. And Micah said unto him, dwell with me, and be unto me a father and a priest, and I will give thee 10 shekels of silver by the year, and a suit of apparel, and thy victuals. So the Levite went in. Now, church, he's got his little church going. He got that boy. Yeah, you know, that boy dumb. He ain't been to seminary or nothing. I mean, he's just a preacher called Daddy Collin. And lo and behold, a preacher shows up, a graduate of the school of Benjamin, of Bethlehem, Judah. I mean, this boy done been to a big seminary. Got that degree 4 miles long. He's a Levite. You know he's a priest. And all of a sudden, Dad says, hey, stick with us. I'll give you 10 shekels of silver a year. Give you a brand new suit every year. I'll buy you clothes for you, and I'll feed you. Amen. And at that time, the boy says, I'll take the church. Y'all may believe that. That's why some folks take churches. Yeah, they're not there because God called them. They're there because of ABC, a bigger check than the one that's getting at the last place. Glory. And this old boy lines up, man, and all of a sudden Daddy fires the old boy that he called to preach. Got him a real preacher now. We don't need you. You know, that's the way some folks are. Y'all may not believe this, but some people would rather have a guy with a degree than somebody knows how to talk to God. Hello? I've gone to churches where they were fixed to vote on pastor, and they want to know if he had more degrees than a cheap thermometer, but not a one of them asked if he ever bowed his knee and prayed. Not a one of them ever asked if he had any kind of spiritual conviction. They just want to know if he had an education. And I got news for you, church. Education is great. I'm not against it. I got some. I went to college some. It helped me a bunch. Learned me how to talk English. I mean, if it wasn't for that, they don't tell them what I'd be saying. Glory. Amen. But you know, church, the reality is, one thing I did learn in a homiletics class, don't know what that is, that is studying the science of preaching. And the first thing the professor said was, some of you boys need to learn how to throw a newspaper. Everybody in the class was going, what? And he said, I used to throw newspapers. So I knew what he's talking about. He said, if you throw it under the house, it ain't worth a flip. If you throw it over the house, it ain't either. But if you get it next to the door where they can get it inside, then it's worth something. And when you're preaching, if you preach over people's heads, they ain't got a clue what you said. And if you preach under them, they don't know what's going on. But if you can get it where they understand what's going on, you can minister to people. Could you say amen? Hallelujah. And all of a sudden he fires that young boy. He got him a Levite now. Got him a real priest. The next thing you know, things are going good. They're having church. And wouldn't you know it, And the Levite was contented to dwell with a man. The young man was unto him as one of his sons. And Micah consecrated the Levite. The young man became the priest and was in the house of Micah. And then said Micah, now know I that the Lord will do me good, seeing I have a Levite from a priest. Amen. In other words, all of a sudden, I got it made, man. I got me a preacher. You know, there are some folks want the right preacher in church so they don't have to have a relationship. Oh, I know I didn't have to say that, but we got some folks that like a preacher that's got a good relationship. That way they ain't got to worry about reading their Bible and praying, because preacher's going to read me some Bible every Sunday morning. Preacher's going to pray a little bit. But can I tell you, I can have the greatest relationship in the world. It ain't going to help you one iota unless you go get a relationship yourself and build it with God. And here this man Micah's going, I got it made. I mean, I got me a preacher now. We're really going to do something. And here comes some folks. The children of Dan are trying to find their inheritance. All the other tribes done have theirs. And the children of Dan come by trying to find their inheritance. They stop. There's five men. They're scouting out a place for them to go. And all of a sudden, those men show up at Micah's house. And they get to looking around. They go, my God, he's got a church. They get to talking to this preacher and find out they got a Levite. They got an educated preacher here. Man, they got a molten image and a graven image. They got teraphims. They got the ephod. They got everything one would need to start a temple. And they run back and tell their buddies. And the buddies come along with them. And these went into Micah's house and fetched the carved image and the ephod and the teraphim and the molten image. And then said the priest to them, what do ye? And they said unto him, hold thy peace. Lay thine hand upon my mouth and go with us. And be to us a father and a priest, and it will be better for thee to be a priest unto the house of one man, or is it better to be a priest unto the tribe and the family of Israel? All of a sudden they said, look, man, we got a bigger church. You know good well we're going to pay more tithes than that one dude does. Come on, church. Y'all not understand something. On one side of the track, you got some guys, it's more worried about the checks, but you got some churches need to realize the reason that they starve a preacher to death, it might be why he leaves. Don't look at me with that tone of voice. I'm preaching the truth. You got some guys, they leave the church because it's too little. You got some churches that want a guy because they're bigger. And the truth of the matter is, both of them's wrong. You ought to want somebody that got God in their mind, wanting to be where God wants them to be. And when that happens, it all works out. Could you say amen? Somebody looked at me and said, well, preacher, you're not making enough money? You wanting a raise? No, I'm making what y'all's paying me when I got here. I didn't know what it was until I showed up. Hello? I mean, I had an idea, but I wasn't sure. But I'll be honest with you, church, I didn't come here because I was going to make a check. I didn't come here because I thought somebody was going to pay me a certain amount. I came because God stopped me and said, this is where I want you. And I don't know about y'all, but I want to be where God wanted me. Glory. And I ain't going nowhere next week. If y'all quit paying me, I'll find a job, dig a ditch, I'll do something, but I'll be here till God says he's ready for me to go. And the last time I was talking with him, I think he said something about retirement. I discussed it with him anyway. Glory. And I ain't retiring early if I can help it. And the priest's heart was glad, and he took the ephod, the teraphim, the graven image, and went in the midst of the people. So they turned and departed and put little ones in the cattle and the carriage before them. Amen. All of a sudden, Micah comes home, his preacher's gone. His church is gone. Everything he's got connects him to God is gone. And he gets all upset. And the next thing you know, he loads up his men and his horses and he gets his swords and everything. You ever notice some folks, you know, that something happens in their relationship and they ready to whoop somebody over it? That's real religious, ain't it? Oh, bless you, get on back there. I'm going to whoop your head. Don't worry, I pray through. I'm one of them. I'm not pointing to somebody. I have to work at it. Look at me like that. Paul said, I have to die daily. Paul had to get rid of Saul of Tarsus every morning he got up so he could be Paul the Apostle. And I have to work on Ken Stroop sometime because the one that used to live keeps wanting to come back. Hello? There's a guy asked me one time, say, preacher, what do you think holiness is? I said, holiness is when I get mad at folks, I want to bust up both sides of the head, but I can't because I got to live right. I didn't say I didn't think about it. I just said I don't do it. Smile. Some of y'all gonna lie and say, well, preacher, I've never had them kind of thoughts. At least I ain't like one preacher was at Northport one time. He showed up at Northport, stayed there 6 months, and he left. I couldn't figure out why he left. I got to talk to some people, found out he had whooped a guy at the church he was at before, and they found out about it and asked him to leave. Because there was some afraid he would add the same thing to their church. Some of y'all know Brother L.L. Lewis. Brother Lewis was pastor of the church, and that church was bad about domineering pastors and running them off and getting in their face, and they jumped in his face. The men's meet one day, and he told the guy, said, let's go outside. Now, y'all didn't know Brother Lewis. He is an old-fashioned fellow. He's a precious man of God. But he just didn't care what he said. He told the guy, let's go outside. The guy said, you can't go out with me, preacher. He said, yeah, I can. I ain't seen the Bible where I can't get forgiveness. Bust your nose. We go out that door. It's what I'm going to do. And the guy looked at him and said, well, preacher, I ain't going. He said, then sit down and shut up. You know, he stayed there 10 or 12 years after that. Amen. I ain't going to try that, folks, but smile. But all of a sudden, Micah goes. He's going to get his religion back. He chases them down. The 18th chapter, 23rd verse. And they cried unto the children of Dan, and they turned their faces and said unto Micah, what aileth thee that thou comest with such a company? And he said, you've taken away my gods, which I made, and the priests, and you are gone away. And what have I more? And what is it that you say to me? What aileth me? And the children of Dan said unto him, let not thy voice be heard among us, lest angry fellows run upon thee, and thou lose thy life and the lives of your household. In other words, they said, fella, you need to take a long look. There ain't many of y'all, and there's a bunch of us. You keep running your mouth, we're going to mess you up. You're not even going to have religion. You ain't going to have no life. And the Bible said Micah turned and went home and left them alone. It's a sad story, but it's repeated in history today again and again for some of the same reasons. I want to give you three reasons why Micah lost his religion. And I'm going to close. Some of you are already losing yours because it's getting close to 12. I was told last week, quit looking at my watch, and I got to tell you, my watch ain't got the right time, so it don't matter anyway. Glory. Amen. Number one, Micah lost his religion because it was totally and completely man-made religion. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? Real religion must be more than a creed or a doctrine, but it's in a belief system based on truth that has stood the test of time. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? If all I got is what I've been taught by some book, and I don't have a real meaning of God inside of me where I know that I know that I know I've been born again, then it's going to be very easy for me to let things go. And can I tell you, that's the problem we got with a lot of people sitting in our church. They're basing everything on what some man told them. They've never studied it themselves to see if it's real. They don't have a real connection to God. Everything they believe is a belief system based on what somebody else studied and told them. Can I tell you? You need to put your nose in a book, read it, and pray while you're reading it, and let God begin to reveal you some things about the Word of God. And when you do, you will be deeply rooted in the power and the grace of God that'll make you an overcomer, and the devil can't take it away from you, and the world can't take it away from you. And every time things turn bad, you're not going to throw up your hands and quit, because you don't have a man-made religion. You got a relationship with God that far supersedes anything any man could ever give you. Could you say amen? I gotta hurry. Secondly, Micah lost his religion because it was completely external and there was no inner change in his life. Everything about what Micah had created in his relations foundation was built on an external relationship of ritual and not real change. Can I tell you where we're at? We got a bunch of folks that can tell you how you're supposed to look on the outside. But now let me tell you something, folks. You can dress outside any way you want to. If the inside ain't changed, it ain't going to change. Come on, church. I was down at the mall one day walking through the mall, and this lady come up, and she was old-fashioned, holiness-looking. She had the bun. I mean, she was into it. And she walked by me and said something, and I thought, oh, I know that lady. I met her somewhere. She got to be Church of God. And I walked up, and I said, sis, don't I know you somewhere? She said, you got a light? And I went, no, I guess I know you. Glory. But she looked wholeness. Hello? Got my eyes opened real quick. But you see, church, we're quick to talk to people about how they ought to look on the outside, but if there's not an inward change in a person, the outside's not going to make a difference. You say, preacher, give me scripture, Romans chapter 2. Amen. He said, we are not Jews who are one outwardly and whose circumcision is simply of the flesh, but he is a Jew who is one inwardly, whose circumcision becomes of the heart and whose praises then become of God and not of man. Let me tell you something, folks. You get people right on the inside, the outside will clean up and take care of itself. But you get people cleaned on the outside, that does not change the inner being. And that inner man is the one that's got to find a relationship with God and got to have an exchange in their life. And until there's an inner work with God, the outside ain't going to do any different. You can dress it up. You can talk about it. Come on, church. I mean, let's face it. I could dye my hair purple, but I'm still going to be bald and white-headed. Hello? I'm getting amens on that. I don't know why. Glory. But the truth of the matter is, you can do what you want to, but until there's an inner work of God, there is no true relationship that's going to be bound there. And because it's all on an external thing, everything that comes along wipes out your faith, wipes out your joy, wipes out your peace, and messes up your whole life. But when you've got that inner peace with God, that joy that's unspeakable and full of glory, that peace that passes all understanding, there is nothing going to make you give up and make you turn away, because you're going to know my God and my Redeemer liveth. You're going to be like Job, though the skin worms destroy this body, I'm still going to praise him, because I know I'm going to stand before him in the latter day. Could you say amen? Last but not least, this is important. If you missed everything else, tag this one. Micah lost his religion because it was left unattended. If Micah had been mindful of his relationship, it had been important enough for him to pay attention to what was going on, the sons of Dan wouldn't have made two trips by the house without him knowing they'd been there. And he'd have been guarding what was going on. Can I tell you that I've never seen anybody backslid who had a Bible in their pocket and was praying every day. But every time I've ever sat down with a preacher that's lost his ministry, or a man that's lost his family, or a woman that's messed up, every one of them's admitted to me that they'd shut their Bible and got away from the altar. And because they got away from God, things begin to go apart in their life. Can I tell you, if you're attentive to what's going on in your relationship with God, there ain't enough demons in hell to mess you up. If you're attentive to what's going on between you and your relationship with God, there is nothing in this world that can pull you away. See, church, I believe in eternal security. It's just not unconditional. I believe when you get saved, you can stay that way. Hello? See, you got some believe no matter what happens, you can live right. Then we got the Church of God believes you got to backslide. And we got too many folks practicing the second end. It's time we realize once you get saved, you can work at it. You can live right. You ain't got to go out of church every 2 or 3 weeks or every 2 or 3 months and mess up and come back and go, oh, you messed up. No, you didn't. You need to grow up and get your nose in a book and get your knee on a floor somewhere and get a hold of God, and you quit having these problems and you'll learn how to walk. Now, you won't be perfect. We all have a mistake every once in a while. That's why he said, if you sin, it's not going to be an everyday occurrence, but when you do mess up, you can get back in an altar and say, come on, God, we got to work on this and get it out of my life, so I can move on to the next class. I want to graduate so I can make it one day to the graduating class that's going to hear you say, well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter you into the glory that I have prepared for you. Glory. If we attentively take care of our relationship with God, we do not lose that that is important to us. Come on, church. You know, learned a long time ago, we do what we decide we need to do. You ever notice you want to buy a car, if that payment's a little higher than what you've been making, if you make up your mind you want to do it, you can make that payment. Even when you thought you couldn't because you wanted that car. You can be in church every time the doors are open if you want to. I know some people have to work, that's fine. But there's some folks don't come to church simply because, well, I just go on Sunday morning. I actually had one lady told me that she went Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, that was too much, that too much religion was bad. Of course, her and her husband ended up divorced. Her daughter ended up pregnant and having a youngin' out of wedlock because mama thought going to church too much was just too much. Now, those things can happen to you when you're doing the best you can, but there's definitely going to be some things happening if you ain't trying at all. Come on, church. And we got to get to that place where we realize there's a real world out there trying to destroy us, a real devil that wants to take us to an eternity without God, who wants to steal every bit of our joy and our peace and everything God's put in our life. And if we're not mindful of what's going on, he's going to be successful.
I don't know about you, but I not only don't want to lose what I got, I don't want to lose the people around me either. I don't want to lose those I come in contact with. I want to win. And the only way I can win is to run the race with a made-up mind. There's a finish line up there, and I'm not stopping until I get there. Come on, church. I can't remember the man's name, but some of y'all remember in Mexico City in the Olympics. It was a guy from Africa. I believe he was from Tanzania. Don't quote me on that, but he was from Africa. I remember that. They had left with the national news media, and one dude was still there with a camera. He was holding it on his shoulder. An hour and 35 minutes after the last man crossed the finish line in the marathon, and this dude come through the gate into that field. He would run a while and he'd fall. He'd struggle to get up and he'd run a while and he'd fall. 26 miles, so many yards over that is a marathon. This dude fell off the side of a cliff in the third mile, broke his leg, broke his elbow, fractured his skull, but crawled back up that hill, got back out on the road, and in all that pain kept going till he got in there, and he wouldn't let them help him till he crossed the finish line. And they asked him, said, "Why in the world would you not give up?" He said, "The people of my country did not pay my way here to start a race. They paid for me to finish. And it doesn't matter how long it took. I had to finish before I could go home and be proud of who I was and not have to face them in humiliation." And he said, "Now I can go home and say I finished the race. I may not have won, but I made it through." Can I tell you, he was honored when he got home because of such dedication. Can I tell you, church, I've got a finish line in front of me, and I've stumbled a lot of times and I messed up, but I keep getting back on the road because God did not save me to start a race. He brought me into this family so I could finish it, and I'm not going to be happy till I cross that line and I hear him say, "Well done, my good and my faithful servant." Hallelujah. Stand with me all over the house. You need to ask yourself this morning, church, where am I in my relationship with God? See, if you fit any one of these three categories today, you need to ask yourself, am I really headed where I want to go? Am I really, really taking my relationship as important? Father in heaven, I thank you right now, God, for your word. Master, you said it's not by might, not by power, but by thy spirit, saith God. Father, touch your people. Master, in Jesus' name.